Happy Father's Day to all of the fathers across the state of Iowa. We appreciate the fact that we have so many heroes that continue to work on the front lines across our state to fend off the raging water, and including a lot of fathers out there that are pitching in and doing their fair share. So our thoughts and prayers continue to be with all of those impacted by this natural disaster that is ongoing. In an interest to continue to provide the most up-to-date information as possible, we have a new website. It is flood2008.iowa.gov. Again, www.flood2008.iowa.gov. It has the latest information about the ongoing disaster. You can register online there to volunteer to help. And it's a one-stop shop in terms of information, and it will be continuously updated. Our top priority, again, is public safety, and we're doing all we can to disseminate this critically important information as we know it. And we appreciate very much the important role that the media continues to play in helping us get this information out. In terms of loss of life, at this time we still have 16 fatalities. Fortunately, that number has not changed overnight. That number includes 8 from the Parkersburg, New Hartford tornado of a few weeks ago, one fatality in Wright County, one fatality in Hamilton County, one fatality in Linn County, one fatality in Palo Alto County, and of course the 4 scouts that were killed in Monona County. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with those victims and the families of the victims, and I ask Iowans to continue to keep those individuals that were lost and severely injured in their thoughts. To date, I have issued 83 state county declarations of disaster. 83 counties in our state at this time are under this state of emergency. We have received to date 23 presidential disaster declarations for 23 Iowa counties, and we continue to urge FEMA to get these counties declared, the additional counties declared, those that qualify, as quickly as possible. I have asked for all 83 of the Iowa counties to receive the presidential declaration, and we're moving as quickly as we can to try to turn those proclamations around. That frees up additional resources is what that does. It not only allows us to help with state resources into these 83 counties for both individual assistance in some cases and public assistance, but it also then frees up significant federal resources to help individuals, businesses, and communities not only deal with the continuing state of emergency, but also to recover. At this time, we have evacuated roughly 36,000 Iowans in 11 counties across our state. In terms of hot spots, there are many. Des Moines, there is still some issues related to levees. Downtown, we have 750 members of the Guard that have been involved in helping here in our capital city, and we just urge local residents to continue to pay attention to the city officials and the law enforcement officials in terms of any evacuation notices, whether they're mandatory or voluntary. Iowa City, a little bit of good news there. The river has crested. That was an earlier than anticipated crest. But we still have a real Guard presence there. I'll let General Dardis fill you in terms of overall Guard missions. But we continue to have challenges, certainly in Iowa City, and just because they River Crest doesn't mean that it's not a serious situation, and the receding water is usually very slow, and in terms of how quickly it recedes, and meanwhile you're still talking about a very, very dangerous public safety threat in all of these communities that I'm talking about. Cedar Rapids, we continue to have issues there, obviously. But the good news is that 50% of their water capacity is now back online. That's up from 25%. But I wanted to share with everyone a map here. This is of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And it shows you the magnitude of this flood, not only in Linn County, but I think it highlights for everyone the fact that we are dealing with an unprecedented level of flooding across our state. This map shows that this flooding in Linn County and in the city of Cedar Rapids actually exceeds the 500-year flood level projection. And I'll ask Dave Miller to explain the various colors here and to show you how far out and around the impacted area really is in our second largest city in Iowa, 135,000 people. Dave Miller.
He's a pointer. I know this will be hard for many of you to see, and unfortunately we don't have it electronically portrayed on the screen.
Is it possible to speak in the mic?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
We want to show you the map. We don't have it electronically for you because it's such a huge file. And it's hard to see on the big screen, so we've done it here. And please feel free to come on and give it a look. What it represents in the dark blue areas, that's the river. The lighter blue areas around that are 100-year floodplain. The gray areas are 500-year floodplain. And these tan, yellow kind of areas here are what the city projects to be the effect of the flood based on what they know now. And what you can see is it is a much broader area throughout than 500-year floodplain. This is not just record flooding, this is far over record flooding. It is of historical proportions and at a level that we have not seen in these communities for a long time. And this is just representative of one area of the state, of Cedar Rapids.
Thank you, Dave. Now, again, we have evacuated between 25 and 30,000 people just in the Cedar Rapids area. Closer to 25,000 is the estimate. And given the magnitude of this flood and the impact, obviously, it's having on this large metropolitan area, I guess the one silver lining is that we have only had, to date, one reported fatality. A 51-year-old woman was not able to apparently get out of her home. It's unclear exactly all the details. We are continuing to work in that area to protect human life and prevent serious injury. So we do feel good about working with the local emergency management officials, who, by the way, have done an outstanding job working around the clock in Linn County as a coordinated team, and they are to be commended on the ground in that community, both the professional law enforcement officials and emergency management officials and elected officials, but also the countless volunteers that are helping in that critically impacted area. Burlington continues to be a real concern. What we're anticipating are record crests on the Mississippi River south of New Boston. So that means it's likely that we will see major and serious flooding on every part of the southeastern border of our state from New Boston and down. And we're very concerned about that situation. We're moving in. We're taking precautionary steps. We are evacuating where necessary. But that is going to be the next round here. It's estimated that that will crest on the 18th of this month. So we've got a little bit of time here to deal with that kind of separate challenge. The ones that we're talking about primarily are the ones that run right through the southeast and run all the way down to the Mississippi. Those communities are going to be impacted in all likelihood before those communities along the Mississippi River, again south of New Boston. So we're getting ready and doing sandbagging and other precautionary steps in many, many towns along the river. But we feel good about the effort and the anticipation in terms of taking all the steps we can. Columbus Junction, Oakville, Fredonia have had several hundred people evacuated out of those communities. Oskaloosa has some issues related to their water plant. They are working to sandbag and do what they can to protect the water treatment facility there. Ottumwa, they've done a great job on that effort there, also water-related primarily to protect that water facility. But again, a total of about 36,000 people from those communities that I've just mentioned, including our capital city of Des Moines and Iowa City, obviously, have been evacuated. The majority of those individuals have come from the Cedar Rapids area in terms of being evacuated. But we want to emphasize that while we are having challenges in our urban centers, we have multiple ongoing battles in smaller communities. And we're doing just as much to help those rural, more remote areas of our state, like Columbus Junction, for example, and Fredonia, as we are in the metropolitan areas. The good news is we have the resources to fight on both fronts. The bottom line, though, and the reason I'm talking about these hot spots, is please avoid these areas of our state unless you are authorized personnel. There is no business to otherwise be on the roads in those areas. It only complicates our effort and puts lives at stake. Speaking of, I will turn it over to this time to Gene Meyer, the Commissioner of Public Safety, and he has an update broadly on some public safety concerns and warnings. Thank you. Gene?
Thank you, Governor. This morning we still have 54 state roads or U.S. highways closed across the state in different spots. Interstate 380 remains closed between milepost 4 and milepost 10, with only being used by emergency vehicles. Interstate 80 remains closed east and west at the milepost marker 266, which is 20 miles east of Iowa City. So projecting that they will remain closed at least through Tuesday. I would also like to report that yesterday there were two arrests made, one in Cedar Rapids and one in Des Moines, of an individual or individuals who were posing as National Guard people trying to gain access into restricted areas. And that leads me into talking about something that's frankly unfortunate but quite necessary. And we at the Department of Public Safety want to join other agencies to remind the public about the potential of disaster-related fraud schemes in connection with this recent damage caused by the tornadoes, flooding, and all the other severe weather that's occurred in Iowa. Now, fraud prevention is kind of a two-pronged effort, educating and warning the public about these scams, which we're doing again today, and we're going to continue to do in the weeks and months ahead. Also, developing and implementing proactive law enforcement strategies, which we've already begun to do in partnership with many other law enforcement agencies and people in the private sector. Now, there are numerous types of scams. They include home repair scams involving substandard or incomplete work, such as debris removal, sale of unneeded disaster recovery kits, water testing and treatment, advanced fee loans and mortgages. Scam artists will travel many, many miles to victimize people who could least afford it. Essentially, they come in, they take the money, and they run. Another form is price gouging, which is a practice of taking advantage of victims of disasters, substantially raising the price of goods and services without any justification. Price gouging, of course, is considered an unfair practice under the Iowa Consumer Fraud Act when a disaster declaration is in effect in any county. Also, we'd ask that you be aware of the possibility of imposters posing, particularly as utility workers. Please keep in mind that a utility worker working for a legitimate company will not ask for a payment to disconnect or reconnect power in any flood-related area or situation. Look for the official utility insignia on the vehicles and the uniforms of the people that may come to your home. Insist that those workers present an identification badge or official identification. If you have questions, certainly call the utility they say they represent and check on that situation, and report suspicious persons or activities to your local law enforcement agency. Also, watch and report any suspicious activity at your neighbor's property. So just don't be concerned about yourself, but Iowans have an outstanding longtime reputation of helping neighbors, so please continue to do that. And please volunteer to help older people that live in your neighborhood as they deal with contractors to make sure that they're not intimidated for paying for any work that's not done. Be alert for phone or door-to-door solicitors who hand out flyers and promise to speed up insurance payments or help you with that and demand money up front. I guess the general rule of thumb in all of this is never, ever pay for a service in advance. Don't ever pay for a service in advance. When con artists try to cheat disaster victims, it is the definition of adding insult to injury. We've only had a few of these instances occur in Iowa thus far, but it's very important for all Iowans to be on the alert and be careful not to be cheated. Certainly, if you feel that's a situation, you can call your local law enforcement agency, you can call the Consumer Protection Division of the Iowa Attorney General's Office. Lastly, I want to caution Iowans about the use of carbon monoxide, or not the use of carbon monoxide, but of carbon monoxide poisoning due to the use of gasoline-powered generators inside their homes. That can become a very, very serious situation. Also, regarding any injuries that you might receive, infectious wounds, or any heat-related illnesses. Our State Department of Health is working very closely with local officials to make sure that this word gets out to the general public, but I'd ask Iowans to be very careful in that regard. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Meyer, for your update and for your leadership. At this time, I'll introduce General Ron Dardis for an update on ongoing National Guard missions. General.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. Presently, the Iowa National Guard has 3,300 soldiers and airmen on the ground, and we're building to 4,000 by tomorrow. We do have additional troops that are available, and equipment remains a non-issue at this time. We continue to redirect our force and pre-position our assets to stay ahead of the floodwaters that are moving through the state of Iowa. We are concentrating on four primary river basins from Des Moines to the east border, and that's the Des Moines River, the Raccoon, the Cedar River, and the Iowa River basins. Our primary effort is focused in these areas, Ottumwa, 300 plus soldiers, Burlington, 500, Keokuk, 500, Fort Madison, 200 and increasing. In the Iowa City, Washington, Mount Pleasant, and Columbus Junction areas, 1,100. Cedar Rapids, we're building to 750. And Des Moines, we have a 280 quick reaction force that's ready to deploy to any place that's needed. In Cedar Rapids, we are putting a significant amount of effort in the relief of the Cedar Rapids area. We have more than tripled the number of soldiers and airmen to the Cedar Rapids area in the last 24 to 36 hours. Our first order of business is providing security for the perimeter of the affected flood areas, and we're working side by side with our state and local law enforcement officials. We're also providing transportation in support of strike teams that are inspecting homes to authorize reentry to these residents. Everything has to be inspected first, in order to allow residents back in their homes to retrieve their property. And a strike team consists of fire department officials, urban search and rescue officials, electric and gas providers, health inspectors, and state and local law enforcement officials. Our missions include our liaison and assessment missions with local officials and county coordinators, continuing to define the requirements and the needs for the communities and the missions for the Iowa National Guard. Sandbagging is one of our primary missions, evacuation, security, and logistical support for water and food and supplies. The Iowa Guard remains committed to assisting the citizens of Iowa in any way that we can during this statewide disaster. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Dardison. I just want to emphasize the confidence level we have in our emergency management response. One of the things that the National Guard does is as we see these developing crises, for example, the Burlington situation, the general will send a team, an assessment team, on the ground there so that they can figure out where they need to focus the coordinated effort, and then the troops come in behind that assessment team. So we want folks out there to be reassured that every step is being taken to protect them from these historic flood waters. I'd also like Dave Miller, the Director of Homeland Security, to give you a briefing related to shelters and a couple of other bits of information that will be helpful for the general public. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. A couple things on sheltering. Those that are in need of shelters. Currently, there are 17 Red Cross shelters that are open in one community shelter. In Iowa, we have a history of people sheltering themselves, living with relatives, going to hotels and motels, and being sheltered. But please know there are shelters open. They're open in a number of locations. I won't list them all here. If you need to know a shelter location, contact your local emergency management office. You may go through Human Services. Red Cross manages a number of these shelters. Again, 17 Red Cross shelters are open, one community shelter. 16 shelters are on standby throughout the state, and the population last night in shelters was about 472. And there are a number of areas like Cedar Rapids, Wartburg College in Bramer County, Tumwa High School in Wapello County, a couple shelters here in Des Moines, one in Runnels. Columbus Junction has a center, a shelter, and there are a number of those operating. As we walk through this, we also want to get people started on recovery. We know that we're in a flood fight. We continue to respond, and we will be responding over the next few days, but we also want the recovery process to begin. In order to do that, there's a couple things that citizens can do. First thing is to call their insurance company and start settling that process and working with their insurance company. If there's questions of that, I know the Insurance Commission has set up a way to walk through some of those processes and help people in the insurance process. The other part of that is beginning to do the teleregistration with FEMA. There's a number of ways you can register for FEMA assistance, and in this case, it doesn't matter whether you are declared under the presidential declaration or not. The fact is if you're in one of those counties where the governor has declared you're affected by flooding in these storms, you should call and register with FEMA regardless. That also helps us in getting those counties declared. The number to do registration with FEMA is 1-800-621-FEMA, 1-800-621-3362. Again, 1-800-621-3362. For those that may be impaired, there's also a teletype number. It's 1-800-462-7585, 1-800-462-7585, or you can register on FEMA's website at www.fema.gov, www.fema.gov. That's for the FEMA information. The state also has its own individual assistance program. that the governor signed into law during an ice storm a year ago. The legislature helped us work on. So we have a state IA program for those that are most in need or within 130% of federal poverty levels. That is a reimbursement program. So documentation and receipts of the costs that have been incurred by the citizens are very important. You can go to the Department of Human Services website at dhs.iowa.gov. Again, dhs.iowa.gov. Or you can call their number at 1-877-937-3663. 1-877-937-3663. The last number I want to give you is the Iowa Concern Hotline. We're using it for volunteers and donations, those that want to volunteer their time. The Iowa Concern Hotline is 1-800-447-1985. 1-800-447-1985. Please coordinate your volunteer efforts and get registered through there. Let them know in the many locations where you need to volunteer. And I want to say this about donated goods. Iowans and people throughout the region and the nation are very good about donating the goods that are needed in the impacted areas. Please, though, understand that goods that may be needed, if they're unsolicited, can actually put a burden on the system and they're not as much of a help. If we don't know what's coming, we don't know how it's coming, we can't offload the trucks, we can't do those things and put them into storage, and we don't have a distribution method locally for that unexpected truckload of whether it's clothing or food or anything else, it can bog down the system, not help it. A better way to donate is to donate to your local favorite charity, donate to the Red Cross or Salvation Army, and work it through that system. And then we can put the right things in the hands of the right people at the right time. So please be aware of that. Unsolicited donations, again, can kind of bog down the system. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Director. Now, a couple things. We have, just to again highlight the magnitude of this challenge, we've had on the ground in Iowa 52 water trucks. Each truck carries up to 5,000 gallons of water. So our water challenges are significant. The good news is we have a pipeline set up. FEMA has been very helpful getting a number of those trucks to us. We also have the ability to access private vendors, if you will, and we are adequately providing the water to those Iowa citizens that need it, and they should know that there is plenty of it. So, but that, again, like this chart here, tells you how massive this damage and devastation really is, and that's our top priority, again, is public safety, and we feel good about the ongoing effort, but we have a lot of work to do yet, and I know that it's human nature to want to go out and look and see what's going on, whether it's here in Des Moines, but there's if people really want to help, they can do one of two things. They can stay away completely from these affected areas, especially, and everyone knows where they are. It's not the entire metropolitan area of Des Moines, but it is certain parts where we continue to have challenges. Just stay away from those areas, or pitch in and call the Iowa Concerns Hotline and get involved in either donating or volunteering. And that's going to remain the case for several days and maybe weeks. And that is as important as anything in our challenge here, because we need to move water, perhaps food, we need to move the National Guard and other personnel that is absolutely essential to this effort. And we really also care passionately about each and every individual that's been impacted by this. And we want those victims of this tragic and historic flood to know that we're going to be with you every step of the way. And there are really three phases here. One, we want to get you out safely if necessary, to move you to a shelter, to remove you from a very dangerous, potentially, situation. Number two, as Director Miller said, we want to get you going in terms of registering for assistance, both federal and state. And I want to thank the Red Cross and the countless organizations across this state that are on the ground already willing to help these individuals. So you're not alone if you're a victim. You have a lot of people that want to help and go to the disaster relief center or the one of these shelters, and there are thousands of people literally across the state, FEMA and other officials, that are standing by anxious to help. So we want to give those impacted by this devastation some hope in knowing that we will stick with them and help them recover. And then we're going to rebuild Iowa. We are going to be stronger and more united because of it. And I am absolutely confident in that. And I can't thank the thousands, the tens of thousands of Iowans who have helped in so many different ways. But I am committed to doing whatever it takes as governor to help the great state of Iowa rebuild. And we are not going to quit. We are in this fight for as long as it takes. And I am very fortunate to have an exceptionally talented team to work with, both here at the state level, the local level, and the federal level. So we are going to continue to keep up the fight. We're going to rebuild. We're going to be strong. We're going to try to keep as many people safe as possible. And I ask all Iowans to keep all of us affected by this in their thoughts and their prayers. Thank you. And we'd be happy to take a few questions.
Governor, how long is it going to take to rebuild the state? Are we talking about years or a decade or longer?
Can you repeat the question? How long is it going to take to rebuild the state? It's too early to know, and as anxious as we all are to talk about the rebuilding phase, we are in the phase right now primarily of keeping people safe. And we are also at the same time having very productive discussions about the phase in terms of rebuilding. I've talked about a special session of the legislature if necessary. And all I can tell you is we are committed to do everything we can to work with the legislature, local officials, and the federal government, and the private sector to provide the resources we need to rebuild the great state of Iowa. It will certainly take a long time.
Governor, could you tell us, or someone else up there, how many acres or how many square miles of Iowa has been underwater?
Any estimates? You may, and you can repeat the question.
The question is virtually how much of Iowa has been affected? How many acres of land? We don't know the answer. I mean, certainly we've done the flyover. We've seen the level of devastation. The governor and the general have been up. We get this kind of information from the city of Cedar Rapids, and we're looking to get more. We've even asked for satellite imagery so we can kind of see the impacted areas, and we're drawing down those pictures as we can. I don't have a number for you. It's got to be tens of thousands, if not millions, of acres of land throughout the state. You have to remember we have 9 major river basins that have been impacted at historical levels.
I have had very good conversations with a number of leaders in the agricultural community, including Senator Harkin, who's the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee in Washington, D.C., and Craig Lang, the president of the Iowa Farm Bureau. We can tell you that 83 counties have had significant damage, not only to their urban centers and to those cities within those counties, but obviously to countless acres of ag land as well. And we are going to put together a agriculture leadership team. We're going to get them up in the air for a visual assessment as soon as we can do that. Again, our primary focus is on public safety right now, and But we're already working with the Secretary of Agriculture here in Iowa and other leaders, including the Lieutenant Governor and former State Secretary of Agriculture, Patty Judge, to do everything we can to assess the damage to that sector of our economy.
We have time for one more question, and then all these people will be available after the
conference. Oh, okay. You know what? I'll pass it down then. I have a very technical question.
Governor, you know, in New Orleans, we've seen many people leave that state and not come back. Here in Iowa, there's been an effort to bring people into the state. Is there any concern that there will be an exodus of people out of Iowa because of this, and that will cause long-term damage to the economy of the state? A lot of people around the country are watching this, and they're looking at seeing a large part of the state underwater. What's going to happen to the long-term image of the state, and will Iowa be able to retain its people?
The long-term image is we're going to be stronger and more united because of this challenge. We have 950 wonderful cities and towns. As we speak here, they are rebuilding where they can. I've been back to Parkersburg. I've been incredibly impressed with the efforts already to clean up and try to recover and to try to rebuild. This is the greatest state in the country. Iowans are committed to doing whatever it takes, not only to help us in this public safety mission here to limit loss of human life and prevent injuries if possible, but to rebuild and to clean up and to work together shoulder to shoulder, locking arms, to do whatever it takes. I was at church this morning, and a number of people came up to me and said, "How can I help? What can I do? I am ready and willing to be a part of this effort to rebuild our state." And that I'm hearing everywhere I go. And so I'm serious when I say that, yeah, it's been a setback. We've had a real blow to the gut. But we are going to keep fighting, and we're going to be more united and stronger at the end of the day because of it. We will not be deterred. We are a determined people. We are hardworking, and we love this state. And because of that, I have the level of confidence I do about the future of Iowa as well. Thank you all very much.